Welcome to this week's episode of Business Wise. This is a podcast series for entrepreneurs interested in expanding through learning and applying the management system discovered and developed by humanitarian, philosopher, and administrator, Mr. L. Ron Hubbard. There's probably no subject in management more perplexing right now for the WISE membership than hiring. Actually, for businesses in general, frankly, it just keeps coming up again and again. Almost any member I talk to these days seems to have trouble with hiring and, quote, finding good people, end quote. So if that's you, then this episode and probably one or two more after this episode will be for you. Anyway, I thought it was high time we tackle this subject head on. Now, I am going to have to acknowledge that society today is in a period of decay. This is clear, statistically. There is higher drug use, higher incidence of ill health, lower literacy levels. These are the current trends that many of us are dedicated to reversing, in actual fact. But there are a lot of people out there who can work and make great employees. And the first thing to know is that if you approach the problem with the idea that there aren't any, that's a bad place to jump off from when it comes to the subject of hiring and finding good staff. The next thing to know is that the requirements that are generally taught as what you are to look for in hiring are generally pretty useless. These are, quote, the old tools, end quote, that are used in hiring, and they don't have a whole lot of value. The tools that are used in the Hubbard management system are far, far better and far more precise. So we're going to take up two of them today. The first of these tools is a battery of tests which are available to WISE members called the Personnel Potential Analysis, or PPA for short. Now, I'm not going to go into this much in this episode. If you want more information on that, just write me at info@wiseeastus.org. That's Wise East spelled out E-A-S-T. Write me at info@wiseeastus.org, and I'll get you the details and where you can access them. There are actually three tests. There's a personality profile, which you need to learn to interpret. There is an IQ test, which is useful if you don't want to hire someone with a low IQ. And there is an aptitude test, which will tell you if you can let them around any machinery or not, whether they are accident prone, etc. These are very, very important and precision tools. Let's call them tools. And you can either obtain the rights to use the tests and learn to interpret them yourself, or you can hire a company that specializes in using these tests to do the testing for you. Either way, use these tests. If you're a listener and you're hiring, use these tests. Find a way to obtain them. You can write me again, as I said. I can refer you to a company that will test for you and interpret for you, or you can obtain the rights to use the PPA yourself. And they will save you time, they will save you agony, and they will save you money. Because your most expensive mistakes are personnel mistakes. Honestly, that's what it always boils down to. But there is another tool, and this is one you should master just to live your life, never mind to hire and choose personnel. And that tool is called the Tone Scale. Many of you probably have already heard the term the Tone Scale. I have referred to it before in earlier episodes. But if you've never heard the term before, we will define it shortly. But the bottom line is, if you do not know your tone scale perfectly, your hiring will always be a crapshoot. You may as well just roll the dice. You need to know your tone scale. There's no way of getting around that. So what is a tone scale? The tone scale is a gradient scale which shows the emotional tones of a person with an arbitrary numerical value given to each level. This scale can be used to predict human behavior. In other words, you look at a person, you establish where they are chronically or most commonly where they reside on the tone scale, and you can predict how they will operate with you or in life. So what it actually is it plots the descending spiral of life from full vitality and consciousness
Yee-haw!
Through half vitality and half consciousness down to death. And the mind is tones lying beneath death on the scale. We're not going to get into a whole lot of detail on that, but let's just say the tone scale measures the vitality of a person. You've all been around people who are, quote, full of life, end quote. What are they like? They're generally enthusiastic. They're sometimes even exhilarated about things. They're interested in things. These are the higher tones or emotional tones. And when you see someone who's always angry or maybe antagonistic, you might observe that they don't seem quite as alive. They seem to be more motivated by something else. Not really themselves. Like you see an angry person, it's like they're out of control. Something else is taking control of the person. That's true. Something else has taken control of the person. That's an actual fact what is happening. And they are not as conscious. They are not as alive. They do not have the same vitality as an individual who is higher on the tone scale, maybe perhaps more enthusiastic or cheerful, right? And then it goes lower than that to, you know, you might talk to someone who seems like they're almost dead, practically dead. And they may not be physically that way, but just the way they respond to things, their lags in responding to communication, their dullness, you would say, man, that guy's like, he's half dead. He is half dead. He's more than half dead, actually. He's probably three quarters dead at that point in terms of awareness, in terms of vitality. So that is your tone scale. It measures that. And Mr. Hubbard plotted this as a scale. A scale is something used to measure something, isn't it? You have a scale for weight. You go, wow, this guy's weighs 250 pounds. Well, you can take this tone scale and go, wow, this guy's at a certain number on the tone scale. We're going to go into it in a bit more detail, but you understand, you use it to adjudicate where someone is residing chronically. Now, of course, people can fluctuate on the tone scale. That happens. You know, you hear good news, you can come up tone to cheerfulness for a little while, but that person who's generally kind of in the what we call anger band of the tone scale, they get angry quickly. They always seem to have a kind of a somewhat angry expression on their face, perhaps. There's different manifestations at different levels of the tone scale, and you'll learn to identify them. You're not going to learn them all in this episode of Business Wise, I can assure you. But, you know, we'll touch on them, but it takes careful study, okay? It is, in my mind, and this is only my opinion, but in my mind, if there's one single survival tool that you need to learn as a business person or as a resident of planet Earth, you need to recognize the tone scale, because you need to know the tone scale and you need to be able to recognize tones, because you can't choose your family, maybe, but you can choose everybody else, your employees, your employer, your partners, your friends. Don't choose low-toned ones. We're going to go more into this in a minute, but you need to know and be able to identify this person is high-toned or this person is low-toned. It doesn't mean, by the way, that because they're low-toned, you have to treat them poorly or badly, but you don't have to hang out with them and you don't have to hire them, right? So you need to know your tone scale perfectly. And to learn anything perfectly, it takes study, dedicated study. Now, I'm not trying to make this episode particularly pitchy, but I am going to make a pitch right now. There is a program that I've put my members on. Most of the members know this. We call it the Understanding and Predicting Human Behavior lineup. It's an extension course lineup that you can do at home. And if you do this lineup, I can assure you, you will know your tone scale thoroughly. It takes a bit of study, but you can do it at home. And if you do want information on that, write me, here we go again, info@wiseeastus.org. Because listening to this podcast is not enough. And I will be drawing from some of the references that are in that extension course lineup today in this episode. But again, study it, learn it. There's no more valuable tool in the handling of personnel, particularly your choosing of personnel, particularly your hiring. Okay. Now, Mr. Hubbard discusses the tone scale many, 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 many times in his writings and lectures. But probably one of the best introductions to the tone scale is in a book I've referenced many times before in Business Wise, The Problems of Work. And this is from chapter 6 of this book. He says, the tone scale starts well below apathy. And we mentioned this earlier. He says, in other words, a person is feeling no emotion about a subject at all. An example of this was the American attitude concerning the atomic bomb. Something about which they should have been very concerned was so far beyond their ability to control and so likely to end their existence that they were below apathy about it. They actually did not even feel that it was very much of a problem. So this is below apathy. We're not going to go into below apathy much, but it's very low. It's below consciousness, basically. Person is operating at a very, very low level indeed. So he goes on to say, in other words, on many subjects and problems, people are actually well below apathy. You can also be, by the way, in a specific tone with regards to a specific subject. That does not mean it's your chronic tone. You know, a person can be generally higher tone, but may be in apathy about certain subjects, like hiring, for instance. So, back to Mr. Hubbard's words, there the tone scale starts, utter dead, null, far below death itself. Going up into improved tones, one encounters the levels of, and then he lists them out here, body death, apathy, so we're going up, grief, fear, anger, antagonism, boredom, enthusiasm, serenity, in that order. Then he goes on to say, there are many small stops between these tones, but one knowing anything about human beings should definitely know these particular emotions. A person who is in apathy when his tone is improved feels grief. So, you know, do you ever have a friend who maybe had a horrible loss, maybe of a parent or a dear friend, and they're kind of numb. There's no grief there at all. They're just in apathy. And then you sort of talk to them and get in communication with them about it, and then they start crying. You know, they go into grief. They've actually come up tone. And he says, a person in grief, when his tone improves, feels fear. So you're talking to them, and now they're in their grief, and then they start maybe feeling a bit anxious about, well, what's my future going to be without them? And, you know, now my parents are gone, and what am I going to, you know, they start going into fear about their circumstances. Then he says, a person in fear, when his tone improves, feels anger. I had a dear friend whose husband died suddenly and, you know, kind of left his affairs in a mess. And it's hard to joke about this, but nonetheless, she said, as she came up tone, she said, you know, if he was alive right now, I'd kill him. She was so angry about how he had left things and just suddenly, you know, kicked off. So they go through this anger band. He says, a person in anger, when his tone improves, feels antagonism. You've all seen that. You've also seen people go from antagonism into anger. You see, it works the other way. Person could be antagonistic, and next thing you know, they're in anger. If that ever happened to you, you know, you start being a bit edgy around people. Next thing you know, you're blowing your gasket. You drop down tone from antagonism to anger. He says, a person in antagonism, when his tone improves, feels boredom. You probably have this experience, like you've been antagonistic about something for a while. Then you suddenly, you know what, so what? It's kind of boring anyhow. I'm tired of talking about it. You've actually come up tone about it. When a person in boredom improves his tone, he is enthusiastic. Now, that's cool. Enthusiasm is cool. There's actually way stops in there. One of them is strong interest. So people who are interested in life and people who are enthusiastic, these are the higher tones above boredom. And then he goes on to say, when an enthusiastic person improves his tone, he feels serenity. So there we have, in very short form from the book Problems of Work, in Mr. Hubbard's words, a very brief description of the tone scale, some of the major stops on that tone scale. Now, the numerical values that are attributed to body death is 0.0. Antagonism is 2.0. and enthusiasm is 4.0. Now, there's a very important reason why I'm giving you these numbers, because he says here, the most definitive work on the tone scale from Mr. Hubbard, that I'm aware of at least, is the book Science of Survival. This is just a brilliant book. It goes into detail on every level of the tone scale. It is on that training lineup that I recommend. So is Problems at Work, as a matter of fact. This lineup you can do by extension. Now, Mr. Hubbard divides here. There's a difference between what we call the physical universe, which are, you know, matter, energy, space, time. These are physical, what we would call physical universe. And then you have the spiritual universe, the universe of life itself. And the word that Mr. Hubbard uses for life is the word theta. And theta is separate from the physical universe. It's what animates the physical universe. There's a lot to this, and I'm not going to go into it in a lot of detail, but just that's what he's referring to when he says the following. Quote, this is from Science of Survival. The physical universe and what we have called the theta universe, in other words, life universe. So the physical universe and what we have called the theta universe are each based upon the principle of survive and succumb. So let's dwell on that for a moment. You're going to see that life is either surviving or succumbing. Physical universe, same thing. You know, your trees are growing or they're decaying. You know, you look at mountains are being created or they are, after, of course, millions of years, decaying. You have the Rocky Mountains in the far west of North America. These are relatively young mountains, but even those are starting to decay, I guess you could say. And then you go to the eastern side of North America, you see very old mountains, the Appalachians and the Laurentians and so forth. These are nowhere near as tall or jagged. They're far older. So you see things are either surviving and expanding or they are succumbing in this either the physical universe or in the theta or life or spiritual universe, right? But listen to what he says here. Listen to this. This is so important. And I want you to, this is one of those datums I talk about emblazoning in reverse on the inside of your forehead so you can always look at it. It's a very, very important law, in particular when it comes to choosing your people, hiring employees or staff. Listen to this. And never think that you're going to outsmart this. This is one of those things, right? So far as life is concerned, these are Mr. Hubbard's words, so far as life is concerned, everything above the 2.0 level is survive, and everything below the 2.0 level is succumb. So when you're looking at someone who is at 2.0, which is antagonism, upwards, boredom, enthusiasm, serenity, we mentioned strong interest, cheerfulness is up there, above 2.0. Mild interest is there. These are higher tones that I'm naming. These are survival tones. Individuals in those tones are attempting to survive, and they tend to bring those things around them into a higher level of survival. What are you trying to do with your business? Survive. You're trying to expand. You're trying to survive better and better because survival itself is a gradient scale. You know, you could say, well, you know, I'm making 60 grand a year. I've got a pretty good job. I'm surviving. You know, I'm making ends meet. Then suddenly you get a raise to 100,000 a year. Well, you're surviving better. You're still surviving, but you're surviving better. If all other things are equal, you're now surviving better. So survival is a gradient scale. It's not just a bare survival type of a concept, right? So the guys or girls at 2.0 and above, 2.0 is a borderline, right? Any higher than that, at least they're moving in the direction of survival. But then below that, they're going in the direction of succumb. If they're succumbing, they're going to take you with them, right? So he says, so far as life is concerned, everything above the 2.0 level is survive, and everything below the 2.0 level is succumb. Above the 2.0 level, the organism tends toward life. Below the 2.0 level, the organism tends only toward death. Okay? Did we make enough of a point about this, right? If you want your business to succumb, hire people below 2.0 on the tone scale. If you want your business to survive, hire people above 2.0 on the tone scale. That's a law. That's why you need to know your tone scale so well. Because inevitably, those who are low-toned will take you downwards. And this is why it's so important to know your tone scale and to be able to identify tone, because one is easily fooled. People have their social veneer. They have their, they have their outward, they put on their best look, I guess you could say, or their best appearance when they come for their job interviews and stuff like that. You have to be able to see through all that to identify where is this person actually on the tone scale. It takes a bit of practice. So the tests that I mentioned earlier from the PPA, Personnel Potential Analysis, these help. But don't think that those tests alone are enough. You need to use your tests and you need to use your tone scale. And frankly, tone scale trumps it. Maybe somebody has some decent test scores, but you look at that tone level and you go, wow, this person is in the fear band. Now, there's a little level between fear and anger called covert hostility. It's 1.1 on the tone scale. Fear is 1. 1.1 is covert hostility, where they are in fear, but they mask it very well by appearing to be your friend, but they actually are mostly interested in figuring out a way to stab you in the back. Okay, and we've all met people like that, and we've all been fooled by people like that. So watch out for your covertly hostile. I'll probably do a whole episode on each of these tones. Honestly, that's what we should probably do up the line here. I don't know if I'll do that in the near future or distant future, but at some point I've always intended to do a series on the tone scale, but just look out for the 1.1, okay? They are on a succumb. They're actually succumbing themselves, and they're bringing the rest of you with them. You look at people's activities like, man, why is this guy drinking so much? Or why are they taking these drugs and they're ruining their lives? Or why do they eat so much? Or what, why aren't they taking better care of their weight? I mean, they have all these health issues now, and these things don't make any sense to you. They are on a succumb. They are below 2.0 on the tone scale. You could also say that about the criminal. Like, why are they stealing from us when we're paying them well? And we try to treat our people well here, and I'm being ripped off by this person. They are low-toned. High-toned people don't do that. They are on a succumb. So now let's go into this reference here, this article from Mr. Hubbard. It's called Recruiting Actions. And there's a section here he calls The Tools. Now there is a word here that Mr. Hubbard uses, and that's the word case or cases. So a case is defined as a person's condition. A person's case is the way he responds to the world around him by reason of his aberrations. So that's a case. So you see a person who is doing something irrational, like what we described before. They're stealing from others, they are committing crimes, they are committing crimes on themselves by taking these abusive drugs and so on, or they're abusing their children or their spouses or what have you. This is not sane behavior. This is not survival behavior. This is succumb behavior. Aberration is defined as a departure from rational thought or behavior, any deranged or irrational behavior. So that is aberration. So a person's case is the way he responds to the world around him by reason of his aberrations. Now, you, my listener, I would not be surprised if you managed to operate in the world around you with a minimum of case. You're trying to learn, you're trying to improve yourself, but even you, I'm sure, probably go off on people and you go, what motivated me to act like that? Or you respond irrationally, you start crying uncontrollably, or something like that goes on in your life, and you're going, what's the matter with me? What's taking control of me? I'll tell you what's taking control of you. It's your case. That's aberration. That is how you are responding to the world around you by reason of your aberrations. And you see other people operating that way probably a lot more than you do. And we say about a person like that, they're mainly a case. Because they're freely dramatizing their aberrations, kind of nonstop, most of the time. They're acting very deranged. They're acting very irrationally. They are at the beck and the call of their case. Some of us are able to shelve our case for the most part so we can get on with things and get productive things done and survive and help others around us survive. And others are unfortunately the victim of their case. And they are mainly cases. So we call them a case. And you need to understand this. They are mostly responding out of their aberrations. Okay? So we all have met people like that. We all know people like that. And you don't want to hire people like that. They are below 2.0 on the tone scale. When a person is being casey or operating as a case, their case is mainly in control. That borderline is 2.0 on the tone scale. So the case is getting them to dramatize and succumb, and they themselves, unaberrated, are trying to survive. And that borderline is 2.0. So now, with that under our belts, let's look at this article. The section is called The Tools, and Mr. Hubbard says here, "You have to realize that we have precision tools. If we lose them or don't use them, we get into trouble. The tools we have tell the story well. They can be disregarded. You can disregard. You can look at a person and say, I think that person's low tone. I don't know. Or they get a poor test scores and you go, well, I don't know. And you disregard these tools. These are my words now. Mr. Hubbard's words are, these tools we have tell the story well. They can be disregarded. And he gives you a list of old tools. You ready for these? Opinion, police record, social acceptability, etc. get put into use instead, and we are for it. Those are the old tools that failed. He has a police record. Okay, what's his tone? What's his test scores? Right? That is far more important. Oh, you know, I don't like the way he has his hair colored. You know? Well, what's his tone? What are his test scores like? Disregard, and you know, I have an opinion about people like that. You know, they're this or they're that. Okay, that's opinion. Don't let opinion color your decisions on personnel. Those are old tools. Use these tools. Use tone level, tests. Okay? So then he goes on to say this. But to use the tools we have, one has to realize they are precise tools. Now, in the article, he starts talking about rehabilitating people. Look, that's what Mr. Hubbard devoted his life to, rehabilitating people and making people more and more able, making people more and more themselves, less and less of a case, right? That was main part of his research. But that's not what you're doing when you're hiring somebody. You're not trying to hire him or her so that you can handle their case. This is a very, very important distinction. How you might feel compassionately about an individual and what you want to do for them personally is one thing. Bringing them into your organization is an entirely different matter. Because in an organization, you're trying to survive, expand, and produce. Why? Perhaps so that you can better handle those around you that are not as able as you are. Right? That might be a very strong motivation for you. I know it is for me, but that doesn't mean I'm going to hire them. Do you understand? I'm definitely going to help them, but I'm not going to hire them. This is the kind of distinction you have to be able to make when you're building an organization. So he says, we can bring the person up to a valuable person. Yes, we can. If you have the skills and ability that he teaches, you can do that. Then he goes on to say this, but we are discussing staff members. We are discussing production. We are discussing hiring personnel. Only about 10% fall into an unacceptable category. Now, this was written 1970, so I don't know if that percentage is higher now. It might be, but that's not a huge percentage, 10%. So maybe it's 20% now. I don't know. I'm not really there. I've never done the math. But suffice to say, there are plenty of people that are high-toned and willing to produce, and that are not letting their cases get the best of them, and that's who you're looking for, right? And you can find them by knowing your tests and your tone scale, okay? So he says, only about 10% fall into an unacceptable category, and they too can be saved. but we don't want them as part of an organization staff. So yeah, they can be saved. We just don't want to hire them into our group. So then L. Ron Hubbard goes on to say this. You see, there are two different things here. One is cases, and the other is personnel. When a person knows he can handle offbeat cases, you know, off-the-rails cases, and some of us can. Some of us have that skill. We can handle a case when we are in the right circumstances and we are counseling them. We can handle them. But he says, when a person knows he can handle offbeat cases, he tends to get careless about cases being offbeat as personnel. And it's a near fatal error. It costs the org its calm, staff members their pay, and deprives the area of full use of the product. So, look, you bring people like that into your organization, you bring them into your company, it's going to influence your company, it's going to bring it down, and therefore you cannot reach out and then help handle society. You know, I go to my members all the time and say, look, let's band together and work together to build a better community, build a better world. And many of them are very, very helpful. And some would like to be helpful, but they're saying, you know, my business is, you know, kind of dragging me down and I have no time and I can't do this and I need good staff and I don't have the personnel I need. They're falling for this. Okay. They're bringing people in that they probably shouldn't have brought in, and that's dragging them down. They're in a succumb. So they're constantly fighting to succumb so that they can't work with the rest of us to build a better community. So that's the transgression that they're now committing. They're actually, in a weird sort of a way, they end up working for the wrong team. Instead of joining the team that's making a difference, they're so caught up with their own problems and their own situations because they've allowed the cases to come into their organization. They've allowed the low-toned guys who are succumbing, guys or girls that are succumbing, to come into the organization, and they bring it down, and they got to work twice as hard to try and compensate for that. So anyway, I'll leave you with this last line in this article from Mr. Hubbard. He says here, bad recruits can make a whole organization allergic to any recruits. That's the other part of this too. If you let bad recruits in, if you hire bad personnel, it can make those who are productive not want any personnel at all. And then you've really got a hiring problem. So what's the moral of the story? Use your tests. Avail yourself of these tests, get a hold of me, and I actually don't even sell those tests, but I can send you to the people who do, and get you started with that. Get on a study program to really learn your tone scale well. I can help you with that. Again, I don't sell that service, but I know who does, and I can set it up for you. I've actually organized a whole regimen, a whole training program, just for my members on this very subject, because, look, if the society around us is decaying, it only means that we need to know our tone scale better and be clever in its use. So, moral of the story, takeaway from this particular episode, I know it's a bit longer than most, but, you know, you guys have been having problems with this, and I'm trying to give you the solution. I will get into more detail on hiring. There's another thing that's going to protect you. It's your process, your hiring process, and we're going to probably go into that in our next episode, but right out of the gate, I want you to know that you have these two tools that you can use to keep from entering your organization those who will only cause it to succumb because they themselves are succumbing. Hope you found this useful. Please write us at info@yz2s.org. Tell us what you got out of it. Leave a comment or a like if you liked it. And we'll talk again next week.